Shabbat Shalom, everyone. This is Rabbi Joe here. This is welcome to the Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia and Tennessee. In case you're wondering why I say Virginia and Tennessee, because there's a Bristol, Tennessee and a Bristol, Virginia, and we're right next to each other. So we are on the southwest corner of Virginia and the northeast tip of Tennessee. Come join us if you're in the area. You're passing through someday on your way to Nashville or Atlanta or wherever you're going, coming through this way. We're 7 hours south of Washington, D.C., southwest of Washington on through the Shenandoah Valley. It's a beautiful ride. Come and join us if you're wanting to get out of the cities and looking for a nice place to live that's reasonably reasonable cost, low cost of living compared to the rest of the United States. A good cost of living here. You can get $1.99 gasoline here. You can get milk for $3.99 a gallon. Come and join us here and worship with us. And remember, when you're Messianic, we're not a denomination. We're not a church. We are the restoration of Israel. We're the revival of Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. And so you don't have to be Jewish to come here. You just have to believe in the Bible. Hallelujah. We're going to start. I've got Rebbetzin Don to my right on the piano. And we have Miss Diane over there in the corner. She's going to sing with us today. And Mr. Anthony Cody to my left is going to do some teaching in a little bit. And he is going to help with liturgy. So we want to wish you Shabbat Shalom and welcome.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Yom Zel Israel, Yom Zel Israel.
Service today. Thank you for your presence here. We bless you. We praise you that this is your house. This is your work. And Lord, you started it 19 years ago in March. It's almost our 19th anniversary. We need to have a party. And in March, I think it was the first week of March of 2000 that we started this congregation. And so we're still going, we're still ticking, and we're one of the 20% of Messianic congregations that has their own synagogue. Mm-hmm. So come join us. But better than that, we have the Lord, and we have some good stuff here. We have good people and good teaching, good worship, great worship, and when our fellowship back up in February, we're going to have good food.
Amen. And good fellowship. All right, let's bless the Messiah this morning. Let's put everything down that happened this week. Just put it back. Put it on the seat. Just lay it down. And let's focus on the Messiah Yeshua, because he's the one who brings us life in this life, right? So we're just going to set this time aside for him and rejoice in the Lord. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher naten lano et darecha Yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua.
Amen.
Where you dwell, in the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Just a little. Do you understand what I said? Good job.
Okay.
Vishamru.
Okay, the Vishamru. Vishamru
v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledor tamborit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledo tamborit olam.
V'neu v'nei v'nei Yisrael v'nei Yisrael ozhi li olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledo tamborit olam.
Ki sheshet yamim asah Adonai shamayim v'et ha-aretz.
V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledor tamborit olam.
Ki sheshet yamim asah Adonai shamayim v'et ha-aretz.
V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledor tamborit olam.
V'yom ha-shvi Shabbat v'ina fash Shabbat v'ina fash Shabbat v'ina fash
B'shamru B'nei Yisrael Et ha-shabbat La'sod et ha-shabbat Ledo tamarid olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. Amen. As we go on, as we begin to sing Pray for Jerusalem, I just want to ask Dante and Ron if you'd like to carry the Torah today to prepare, be ready for that. And Anthony, if you'll open the ark when the time comes, okay?
Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem,
pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we want to first lift up those in our congregation who are sick. We want to lift up Jim and Kelly Fritz. They've been battling respiratory infections for 3 weeks, and Kelly woke up with a fever this morning. We just pray for healing for Kelly, and Jim's doing better, but we want to just pray for healing for both of them. And I know he's good. He's a good cook, so I know he knows how to take care of his wife. But I just pray, we pray you take that fever from her body this morning, Lord. We pray also, pray for Karen Gaby, Lord, and all the caregivers, parental caregivers. Pray for my sister Molly, who's taking care of my mother and overseeing the other people who take care of my mother. Hallelujah. And just pray for Karen. We thank you, Lord, that she works a job and she manages to care for her parents and you know, it's a hard job, Lord. We lift her up, lift her arms and strengthen her, and we thank you for her parents, Lord, and their generosity toward us, Lord, and kindness to this ministry. We thank you also, Lord, for I just pray also, as I was praying for my sister, for my mother, Lord, as she's struggling. We pray for her, for Harriet today, that you would help her to breathe, help her to sleep, help her to talk, and just help her through this difficult time of hospice, Lord, and help me through and my family. Help us through it, and you know what we need, Lord. Pray for Terry and Anna as they go to visit his dad, who's very, very sick, very elderly, very sick down in Alabama. Terry and Anna have gone down there, and we pray for them, for safe travels, for comfort and encouragement for Terry, and we pray, Lord, that you would help. We encourage his father. We pray for the salvation of Terry's father and my mom. We pray, Lord, that you would just give him peace, give him shalom. I know he's heard the gospel, Lord, and that when the time comes, he'll hear your voice and know you and follow you, Lord. We pray that you just comfort Terry and Anna, give them safe travels, and be with Dawn as she travels back up north to fly in the storm up there. She's going to go back up today or tomorrow. So we just pray for her safety, and you give your angels charge over our Rebbetzin as she goes back. And we pray for all other needs, Lord, spoken and unspoken, in Yeshua's name. And Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, we just thank you. I thank you for the amazing resolve of the Jewish nation, Lord, the resolve, the strength of those people, Lord. They're such a mighty people, small nation, but there's such a inner strength. And I stand in awe of how tough they are. I stand in awe of how tough they are to put up. They've been, I didn't know this, I just found out that the Israelis have had over 1,000 attacks on Iranian weapons installations in Syria in the last year. Over 1,000 attacks. And I didn't even know that had happened. But they're just they're relentless. They're so determined to survive. And we just thank you for that will to survive, that will to live, Lord. I thank you for that toughness and that courage, heart of a champion that you've given them, Lord. Now we pray for their salvation, Lord, as it comes, the day comes when all their strength and might and war power doesn't work, fails. When all their strength fails them, Lord, that they have to turn to you. In Zechariah 12:10, they shall look upon me whom they've pierced, and as a father mourns for an only child, and they will see you and mourn for you and recognize you, and you'll pour out a spirit of grace and supplication upon them, and they'll be saved. And I thank you that you're going to wash and cleanse your people Israel here in the United States and in the world as you bring them back, prepare to bring them back to Israel. And we just give you the glory and praise. I pray for the leaders of the MJA. I pray for righteous leadership, Lord. The spirit of Eliakim would take hold of our executives, and that you would remove any spirit of Shebna, Lord, that you would that they would take care of the weaker brothers, those who are struggling, those who are in need, that they would care for them, that they would have compassion. And we just thank you, Lord, that you guide them in their vision, and bless all the Messianic rabbis today in their services. Help them to be bold, help them to be courageous, and speak the word in truth and spirit. In Yeshua's name, amen. And now the Lord says.
And now the Lord says, he reformed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, to gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thank you.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto, Leolam Vaed. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך והיו הדברים האלה אשר נוחים מצבך היום על לבבך ושינתם לבניך ודיברת בהם בשבתך בביתך ובלכתך בדרך ובשחבך ובקומך וקשרתם להיות על ידיך והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Amen. Would the gentleman I selected to carry the Torah come forward? Please. And if you haven't carried it, Anthony will show you how to hold it. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Shout to the Lord with a voice of thanksgiving. Shout to the Lord for his faithfulness. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, "Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel." Amen. You guys can sit with it. Yeah, you can sit on these benches. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamra.
Baruch Adonai Hamrachilam Vahe.
Baruch Adonai Rachilam Vahe.
Baruch Adonai
Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim. Ve'na'atan lanu et Torato, Baruch atah Adonai, noten haTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe,
who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, today's Torah portion is from Exodus chapter 13 through chapter 17, and the half Torah is Judges chapter 4. Today's Torah portion is called Beshalak, and it means when he sent away, and that's referring to the words of Pharaoh. As last week we had the first Passover, or Pesah, and the firstborn died in all of the land. That included animals and people. Pharaoh was the firstborn in his house, and God spared his life because he was the firstborn in his palace. But his son instead died in his place. There was a reason for that. But you know, if you read this today, you'll see that Israel is leaving Egypt, and they're a teeming, I think you call them a teeming multitude, and left by the mighty hand of God, who with his outstretched arm. And they're what I would call a ragtag group of people. They were all former slaves, and they were hurrying away for a long-awaited deliverance. They've been waiting 400 and some years to be delivered, and God had heard their cries all those years to be released from bondage. And so today, in this Torah portion, they are leaving the land of Egypt. But it's interesting to note, God didn't take them on the highway that was there. Instead, he took them by the way of the desert, because there was a reason for that. If you studied that a little bit, I looked at a couple of places that the Israelites could have crossed the Red Sea, and the most popular one that all the experts say, and I read some stuff that a Dr. Glenn Fritz, who has a PhD in environmental geography, he stayed at for several years, and another one of his colleagues, let me see what his name was, I don't have it here in front of me, but he has done some underwater exploration for a very short time. But it seems that the experts tell us that the closest place that they could feel that the Israelites crossed was in an area called Nuwabi. It's called the Nuwabi Crossing. It's in northern part of Egypt, and that particular area is about 5 miles long and 3 miles wide. They have found that underneath that particular body of water where that's at, that there is a path that flows beneath it. And the other guy that I was staying, I wrote his name down somewhere. I don't remember what I did with it, but he is an underwater archaeologist. And before the Saudi Arabia government shut down on their archaeology, he was able to do some underwater exploration. And he found with their metal technology and all that, the underwater technology they've got, that they found some metal type objects in the Dead Sea, or in the Red Sea, I'm sorry, where they supposedly crossed, and that they were, some of them were circular. But when the Saudi Arabia government found out what they were doing, because after all, Saudi Arabia is a Muslim country, and they oppose anything that would be Jewish, they declared it an archaeological site, and they're no longer allowed to or permitted to get into the water and look at it. But that seems to me about the most logical place that God took them, because on either side of that crossing is mountains. So they had nowhere to turn. And behind them, they looked, and Pharaoh had decided that he wasn't going to let the Israelites go, so he comes after them. So they had the mountains on their side, the Egyptian army behind them, and the Red Sea in front of them. So they had nowhere to go. You see, what the Egyptians didn't realize was they were driving the Israelites closer to God, because they began to cry out to God to rescue them and save them. And so God told Moses, he says, lift your hands, and the sea will split. And the sea did split, and it's formed a translucent on each side of the path they went across on. There was water that was dammed up on either side. And if you read the Torah portion, you know that when Moses put his hands down, then the Egyptian army was engulfed with the waters of the Red Sea, and they all drowned. And when they crossed over to the other side, they broke out in a joyful song that part of it we just said this morning, Minka Moka. And Miriam led the ladies in worship there with trembles and tambourines, and they began to worship and sing praises to God. They didn't praise God for killing the Egyptians, but they praised God for deliverance that they had received from them. And I just found the guy's name is Dr. Leonard Mulk, M-U-L-K. But there's a lot of biblical history there in Saudi Arabia, especially around the part that they say is in Mount Sinai area. That actually, they feel pretty much that is in Saudi Arabia, or Arabia as it would have been called then. But again, the Saudi Arabia government has blocked any type of archaeological. They are declaring an archaeological area, and no one is permitted to go in to that area. But Israel crosses to the other side, and they're safe. And they go into the desert around Elim, which is, again, in Saudi Arabia. And there are the people. They've run out of food because when they left Egypt, all they had was unleavened bread. So they had pretty much consumed that. They were running out of water, so they began to complain to Moses and to God. But God does a miracle. They come to an area called Marah, which is bitter, and the water is too bitter for them to drink. So God tells Moses to put a tree branch into the water, and the water becomes very, very sweet, and they're able to drink it. But as they go on, they become hungry, and so God tells them somewhere around the area of Elim is where they finally camp or make the first stop there, and at this point they become very hungry. The food's run out, so they begin to murmur once again. They got real good at murmuring because they kept looking back about Egypt, where they had plenty of water and things to eat. And even though they were slaves, they still, everything was provided for them. That was the thing about slavery. They didn't have to have a clock. They didn't have to have a calendar. That's why the first mitzvah that God gave the Israelites was when they were in Egypt was the calendar, which was an oddity. He gave them the calendar. Why? Because they would be able to observe the changing of the moon, when Shabbat was, and the moeds. That was the importance of the calendar, that they be able to identify when the particular moeds would appear, and they could participate and worship God during them. So the calendar was the first mitzvah. So God gives them manna from heaven, which was, it means manu in Hebrew. It means a portion or a part of him or of man. So it was actually a form of Yeshua coming down, because it was his body that, as we do the Shulchan Adonai, that we partake. It represents the body of Christ. Everything in the Bible relates back to Yeshua. There's a connection. No matter where you go and what you read, there is connections back to him, because he is the Torah. He is the Word of God. That's what his purpose in coming was, to present his Word to everyone and to die for our redemption. Not only did they get manna, God says you take manna on the day before Shabbat, which would be the sixth day, you take a double portion, because on the Shabbat, and they observed the Shabbat, even in the wilderness, they were to take a double portion because they were not supposed to work on the Shabbat. So they took a double portion. If you took a double portion any other day of the week, it was rotted when you got up and tried to eat it. So they took they had food on the Shabbat. And just to close this one before I lose my voice, as it seems to be going, you know, we see everywhere God is, there is grace, but there's also judgment. And we see at the Red Sea, there was grace and there was judgment there. But grace and judgment didn't start at a place called Calvary. Judgment and grace started actually in the Garden of Eden, because it was there that God showed his mercy and grace, but also his judgment to Adam and Eve. So that is the Torah portion for this morning. Shabbat Shalom. Okay.
Vezot
Torah Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei Israel Api Adonai B'yad Moshe. This is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Shabbat shalom.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord, in the tents of Jacob.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And when you come into the synagogue here, you are in the tents of Jacob. You are dwelling with Israel. When you come here and you support this work, you are supporting Israel. You are part of Israel. You're in part of the family of Israel. When you come into this house, you're participating in the family of Israel. And that is a very important work in the last days, because I believe the family of Israel has a key role in what's going to happen in the last days. And it's not just about what happens to the Jewish people. It's about what the Jewish people have to offer during the end times that's so important. So it's not just that we have to know about the Jewish people during the end times. We need to link arms together with the Jewish people, and we need to look to what God is doing through the prophetic people of Israel in the end times. That's what we are here. So come join us. Come join the end times ministry that God established through the family of Israel. And Rabbi's got an awesome message today. I think you're going to really love it, so stay tuned. It'll start in about 45 minutes. So if you're online there, stay for the worship, but don't miss Rabbi's important teaching today about the blood moons, and the super blood moon over Washington, D.C. is the title. So sounds it's going to be good. So just a couple of announcements, and I do want to welcome everyone online. If you're enjoying this service, please let us know. Go to Facebook and like us there, and comment. Rabbi's always interacting, so you'll have a chance to talk to him there on Facebook if you say something. And also, if you're in the area, as Rabbi said, if you're close, you know, within 3 or 4 hours, you know, make a trip and come be with us. We'd love to have you. We'd love to see you and meet you, and we welcome you here. So, as I said, a couple announcements. First of all, this week Rabbi is going to be finishing up writing his newsletter, and then we're going to be sending it out. So I believe that we're planning for Wednesday and Thursday mailing, if it all goes well. So I just want to give you a heads up. And even anyone out there, you know, who's not necessarily attending, everyone's free to come. It's a great time. We have fellowship. I know Aja is one of our star news. Aja, what's that? And Sharon, our star newsletter leaders. They are leaders in getting that word out to you. So come meet Aja. She is just, I don't know, she's like a bowl of flowers. And Sharon, they've always got good things to talk about and share in the Lord. We have a great time, lunch, and Marilyn always brings something really, some baked item that's just out of this world, and nobody can duplicate again. So we love our crew, and you're welcome to come and join us. That's this week. And Vicky will be probably calling people about that for details, but if you want to be on the list, just let call our office and leave a message, and Miss Vicky will call you back. But basically, think about Wednesday, Thursday, anytime, like from, you know, 10 o'clock till 4 o'clock, if you can, you know, donate some time, that'd be great. Okay, and we've got Purim and Passover coming up. We're doing some planning on those holidays. I think it's in your bulletin the dates, so you know, don't forget that we will be celebrating those things. Purim starts March 20th, and Passover is April 19th, and ends April 26th. So we are making plans for a banquet for Passover, and we will probably have a service for Purim to celebrate the story of Esther. And it's a very prophetic and important story to remember. So come celebrate with us and learn about Purim. That's the next Jewish holiday, biblical holiday, actually.
Actually, the next one is, well, biblical is, you're right. The next one is tonight, is tomorrow night, is Tu B'Shvat, which is the new year of the tree.
Trees. We celebrate the trees and all the trees, and
now,
life
why,
in Israel.
It sounds kind of a strange holiday, but if you lived in the desert of Israel, when Mark Twain was there 120 years ago, he noted how desolate it was, and there wasn't an Arab or a tree to be found. You know, for miles and miles, you could look in every direction, and there was nobody. You know, it was barely populated, and it was just a lot of desert and very few trees, except maybe acacia trees that grow in the desert. And there was no vegetation, as there was in the time of Abraham. Remember when Abraham brought his flocks and you know, he settled in the south, and then Lot went over to Sodom and Gomorrah. But Israel became a hotter climate, and desolation came, and desert and all the vegetation dried up. And so they celebrate today. They've put millions of trees, planted millions of trees. And Tu B'Shvat starts tomorrow night. FYI.
Celebrate life in the land. Amen?
Amen.
So that's an awesome thing to think about, and you can read about it online. But one other thing I just want to mention is that we are, as Rabbi said before, working on the fellowship hall, and I want to thank Ron Toon and Bill Batiste again for their hard work. And I saw, by the way, I saw Ron brought in, why don't you, everybody turn around and look at that little menorah in the back window there. Ron just brought it in. He fixed it up and shined it up. He's an expert brass worker, I guess. He's an expert machinist, and he knows how to deal with brass. And believe you me, brass is not easy to fix if it breaks or bends. So we're very thankful for anyone who is able to work on our menorahs. And so I want to thank you. And on that note, I just want to mention that, you know, when you come into the synagogue, and I was just thinking about this as we were worshiping, there's so many items in this synagogue that people over the years, as they have come and been a part of our ministry, part of the work of For Zion's Sake and Ar Yehuda, they have brought things in, donated, not even donated, they've given it out of their hearts as an offering to the Lord. And some people have used certain things in services and then just never took them, and then we lost track of them. I've tried to give them back, and they just, you know.
Well, one guy split the cost of the Torah with me, and then he tried to get it back. He wanted the Torah. I said, sorry, buddy.
Anyway, the Torah was, we purchased the Torah. And he still comes back.
Torah's not going anywhere.
The Torah stays in the synagogue. So I just want to thank all the people who have, you know, donated to the Lord, have brought things and added to our home here. And that includes the little menorah back there, which I think of a lady who used to work at the altar, and I'm reminded of her in that menorah, and I want to thank all the people who have brought things. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Miss Dawn. Isn't she pretty? Come on, isn't she pretty? Amen. Chan, someday a man will say that about you, and you'll actually like it. Chan gave me a look like... Hallelujah. Anyway, I have filters downstairs, and I need some help after the service. I know we're not supposed to do work on Shabbat, but we do. The Bible says in the New Covenant to remove, get your ox out of a ditch. So we got to get our heating ox out of a ditch, and we got to change the filter. And it's hard. It's a little difficult because what's the machine inside the building? Somebody. The furnace. The heat pumps outside, then there's a...
Heat exchange.
What? No. It's a furnace. It's a heat exchange. Anyway, it's difficult to change the filter. Will somebody volunteer to help me change the filter after service, please? Thank you, Ron. Okay. That's all I'm asking. Anyway, thank you. It hasn't been changed since last April, so we all want to breathe fresh air, right? Who wants some fresh air? Wendell, could you use a little fresh air?
Absolutely.
Amen. Wendell wants some fresh air. All right. So tomorrow is Tu B'Shvat. I did speak with Pastor Bill over at New Life, and he gave me the okay if we want to have Passover at New Life Baptist. If maybe after service we'll have a very brief meeting. If anybody has objections to that or has some other suggestion to where to have it, it worked well, I thought, last year at New Life in their gym. We had a stage. We rented a stage, and we had lights. It was very pretty. It was nice. It was a little, you know, a little smaller than usual, but the crowd was a little smaller last year. And the other thing is, it would be the night before Easter, it'd be Saturday night, the 20th of April, and then Friday night would be what the Christians celebrate, Good Friday. We could also do it on the Friday. We could also, if it oversells on Saturday, if we get a big crowd, then we could have two nights, Friday and Saturday. But they helped us. Did they help us last year?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a good thing. So think about that. The hotel's very expensive. It's just prohibitively expensive to do it at the hotel. They just, you know, they nickel and dime you. They charge you $15 for a bottle of grape juice. It's crazy. By the way, FYI, ladies, the grape juice now, there's boxes of grape juice in the hallway. There's cartons of grape juice. You don't need to keep buying grape. God bless you, whoever's buying grape juice. There's a case of grape juice down in the hallway, and they're in cartons. Those are from Passover last year.
Yes.
They're still good. Let's use them up and stop buying grape juice, and let's just bring them upstairs. They're just in little paper cartons, and they're great. It's good grape juice, and let's bring them up and use them, okay? I think people just don't know that they're there or that they're grape juice, but if you look downstairs, I see them every time I'm in the hallway. Okay, so tomorrow night is the super blood moon over Washington, D.C. So we're going to talk about that in a little while. But first, we're going to take up our offering, and we're going to have worship, and we're going to go to the Lord's table. So if you would like to join us at the Lord's table, the Shulchan Adonai, and you have crackers and matzah or bread that you like to use at home, if you're at home and you'd like to join us and come to have communion, you can get your stuff ready, your elements ready, get your grape juice or your what was that stuff you called it last night that you like? Not Manischewitz.
Mogan David.
Get your Mogan David or your Welch's. Either way, get your Mogan David or your Welch's. But anyhow, we're going to do that. We're going to go to the Lord's table shortly. Let's take our offering. Mr. Wendell, would you like to come up and pray for the offering? Thank you, Lord. Don't kiss it. Don't kiss the mic. Anthony, you still catchy? Probably not. All right, Wendell.
I rebuke it in the name of Yeshua.
Amen. Amen, amen. I like that. Rebuke it.
No, thank you.
Hallelujah.
Able to do more. Thank you. Hallelujah. And Father, we just ask you to bless each one here. And we pray, God, that in this offerings, Lord, that the increase will come, Lord, to meet every need in this place for the light bill, the mortgage, whatever it is, Lord. Multiply it, God, so it makes it easy to do your work, Father. And we need your help, Father, to deal with your people's hearts. And we thank you for it in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Worthy is Adonai in all the earth. Worthy is Adonai. Israel, my God, in whom I trust. Mighty is Adonai, his praise is
mighty is Adonai in all the earth.
Rejoice, for the Lord your God has made you his delight.
Like we're hemmed on every side, we've got the God of Israel beside us. Praise the Lord. Since I've sang that song. But it's a good song though, right? He's going to bring the captives of the people back to Israel.
Save.
Leslie's favorite song.
Is all I see.
To ask Maria, can you serve today? Okay, great. And Diane, would you serve with Maria?
Sure.
Thank you. And I'm going to go to the headset, please. Test 1, 2. Thank you. We're going to go to the Lord's table. If you're watching online, you'd like to join us. I'll be starting the message about the super blood moon over Washington in about 10 minutes. We're going to go to the Lord's table at this time. So if you'd like to join us, get yourself some juice or crackers, matzah, whatever you have, and you can join us at home, okay? All right, ladies, you can come on up. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant, the Brit Chadashah, the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." On that same Passover night, Yeshua took the middle layer of three pieces of matzah, and he said, he took that middle layer of the matzah, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me." And when he was telling them, really, he had told them several times, they didn't get it. They didn't understand what the Messiah had to do. It was in the Bible. It was all throughout the Old Testament that the Messiah had to be crucified. There are many messianic prophecies about the crucifixion. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, Zechariah 12, Isaiah 9:6. There's many messianic prophecies about the Messiah that were unfulfilled, but they didn't see. These weren't learned men. They didn't know. They didn't understand what he had to do, that he had to die for them. And so, anyway, he was trying to explain again. "This is my body. This isn't my body. This is a piece of bread. Take this for example. This is my body. Take this juice, this cup of wine, actually, is my blood. It's not really my blood, but it represents my blood." Amen? Hallelujah. Because if it was his blood and it was his body, then we'd be re-crucifying him every week. If it really was his body and it was his blood, we'd be re-crucifying him every single week. We can't do that. Amen. Dante knows. Preach it, man. Praise the Lord. So, but we believe it represents his body and his blood. Amen? We believe it represents. So we invite all believers to come to the Lord's table. You don't have to be part of our congregation. You don't have to be Jewish. You have to be a believer in the Messiah. You have to believe in Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth. Believe that he is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he was buried 3 days and three nights and rose again on the third day. If you believe that and God has revealed his Son to you, we invite you to come. If you don't know the Messiah, if you don't know Yeshua, if you don't know Jesus, let's bow our heads for a moment. You know, we watch movies, movies we see. Everybody has a celebrity that they look up to, whether it's Beyonce or whether it's Jay-Z or Maroon 5, whoever. Everybody looks up. They idolize people, groups, music groups. They idolize, actors, Brad Pitt, Mark Wahlberg, they look at superhero, these tough guys. You know, they idolize these guys. Who's the guy who plays James Bond? Everybody looks at these super guys who seem perfect. They seem like nothing can go wrong. They never lose. They never die, and they always come out ahead. And the only real superhero, the only real true living superhero who's been alive since before the foundations of the world is Jesus Christ, is Yeshua the Messiah. He's the only true source of power. He's the most powerful person and God. He's God, 100% God, 100% man. And he's the most powerful superhero there ever was and ever will be. He's the greatest. He's the only one. All those rock stars and celebrities, they're not going to change your life. They're just going to take your money. They're not going to change your life. They're going to waste your time and they're going to dumb you down for a couple hours and waste your time when you could be doing other things. But I'm not saying you shouldn't have entertainment. Everybody enjoy it. It's good to have some entertainment, some diversion. But the fact is, Jack Ryan from the Tom Clancy novels, Jack Ryan isn't going to change your life, okay? He's not going to make your life better. But Jesus Christ will make your life better. Yeshua the Messiah can change your life. He can heal. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He provides. He's your provider, amen? He puts a roof over your head. He puts food on your table. Amen. He takes care of you. He protects you from sickness. You know, there's germs floating around this room and this outside in the winter that could kill. There's no reason we should all be dead. There's germs that are so virulent out there in this world that are so fierce, but for some reason, we don't die. Some do, but most don't. And it's, am I right, Carol? She's a biologist. There's dangerous stuff floating around, and I praise God. I want to give God the glory. My mother's superstitious, so she'd be mad at me if I said this. But I'm going to tell you something. I've had leukemia. I've been in it came back on me 3 years ago and 4 years ago in 2015. And my blood count started going down, and my immunity went down. I want to praise God. I want to give God the glory. I haven't had a cold. I haven't had a sore throat. I haven't had an earache. I haven't had a flu. The most I've had is a 100-degree fever for a day. I've had a sinus infection, you know, for about a week, and that was it. I've had tiredness. I've had normal things that go with it, but I haven't had the infections that go with it. God's protected me from the infections. And I went to see the doctor the other day, and he said, "Have you had any infections? Are you bleeding? Are you having this or that?" And no, I'm not having. Is your spleen enlarged? And he felt it. No, my spleen's not enlarged. Amen. I'm living the life. Amen. I'm living it. Hallelujah. No, do I feel as good as I did? People ask me, "Well, how are you?" 20 years ago, I was better. that's what I tell them. My dad always said that. 20 years ago, I was better, but I'm making it. You know, I'm get up every day. I do the best I can. So, if you want to meet the Messiah who keeps my life going and keeps me from chemotherapy, and will provide for you and keep you from all those germs out there that are killing people. People are dying of the flu. People are dying. One woman went out to California, a journalist. She went out in 3-4 days. She caught a flu. She got a bird flu, and she was dead in 3 or 4 days. She was a Fox News journalist. She went out to San Diego to cover the border or something. I don't know. That's 26 years old, you know. If you want real power, if you're looking for power, just bow your head with me, and I'll introduce you to power, real power. Okay, let's bow our heads. Dear God, pray with me. Dear God, I need power in my life to change my life, to fix the broken places, to heal the wounded places, to provide for the needy places, to sustain me, to carry me, to make me strong and healthy, to bless my family, to bless my future, to give me direction. I need your power, God. I need your power. I need your help. I'm willing to admit that I can't do it on my own. That I need a Savior. I need Yeshua. I need Jesus. Come into my heart. Wash me. Forgive my sins. Put my name in your book of life forever and ever and ever. Forgive me, God. I've broken your laws. I've messed up. I've done it my own way. I've been banging my head against the wall. I'm stubborn. I'm rebellious. I need you to forgive me. Make me more like you, God. In Yeshua's name, amen. Yeshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it and you believe God touched you and you met the Messiah today, you call me, you contact me. You're on our website right now. You can get in touch with me by email. Our telephone number's on there. Just give me a call. Ask me to call you back. Call our office and I'll call you back during the week. I have a special gift for you. And so thank you. God bless you. And ladies, I'm going to turn it over to you as we go to the Lord's table. Amen.
whose glory is revealed in the heavens above, and whose greatness is manifest throughout all the earth. He is our God. There is none else. Sing hallelujah to the
Sing hallelujah to the
Sing
Lord.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Sing
hallelujah to the Lord.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Lechaim beYeshua, hallelujah. Lechaim beYeshua, hallelujah. Hu ahavoti, hu ahevoti. Hallelujah. Uahavoti, uahevoti. Hallelujah. L'chaim b'Yeshua. For the what? Okay, yeah. Isaac, you want to get the Facebook ready? Uh-uh. Can I turn the bass amp off? It appeals to my more bass instincts. Oh, that was bad. It was so bad, I didn't even get a laugh. That got one. I got fun. Thank you, Dante. Dante gave me a laugh. All right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Pray for the message, and let's pray for the children. Father, we just lift up our kids to you, Lord, and I just pray that you would show them the love of God. Lord, I pray today that you would show our children the love of God, that they would have an encounter with your love in their life, Lord, each one of them. Xavier and Billy, Isaac, Josh, Chandler, Reason, and any of the kids that aren't here, children that you may know in your family that you think of, Lord, we just pray for them. Pray that they'll have an encounter with your love, and that you would reveal yourself and your great love for them, and that they would know it beyond the shadow of a doubt that it's you, it's coming from you, Father. Show them how real you are, I pray. And help them, Lord. Bless them in school. Bless them in all they put their hands to and their work. Make it joyful. Be their teacher, Lord. Be their teacher. Be the voice, that speaks in their ear. And you be their teachers, Lord. Teach them what you want them to know, Lord. Say, this is the path, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Turn not to the left or to the right. Help them to hear your voice. Help them to know your voice. Your word says, my sheep hear my voice and they know me, and they follow me. Help them to follow you, God. In Yeshua's name, we thank you for this word. Anoint me now in Yeshua's name. Bring forth this word. Anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see. Anoint us. Help us to receive truth from your word. Let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We bind the enemy in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay. On Sunday, Sunday night, there's going to be a blood red moon, super blood moon in Isaac, tell me when we're on, please. There's going to be a super blood moon in Washington, D.C. I just want to welcome the folks on Facebook Live, on my Facebook channel who are watching. I want to welcome you. This message is the super blood moon over Washington, D.C., and on Sunday night, January 20th, that's tomorrow night, at midnight, around midnight, I'm not sure exactly the time, but you can look it up. You can go to the NASA website. It's only going to be visible in North America and out in the ocean in places like maybe like Iceland or Greenland. It won't be visible in Israel, but the super blood moon will pass over Washington, D.C., and tomorrow night, Sunday night, marking the halfway point. Interestingly, it's marking the halfway point of Donald Trump's presidency, of his term as president. It's marking the halfway point. Exactly. He became president 2 years ago on the 20th of January, and this super blood red moon. Now, what's a super blood red moon? I'm going to tell you. But before I do, it's also the Jewish holiday of Tu B'Shvat, which is the 15th day of the biblical month of Shavuot. So we're in the middle of the month. It's a full moon, and a super moon is when the moon is closest to the earth. when the moon is closest to the earth, it's larger. It appears larger. It really isn't larger, but it appears larger in the sky. So it's more awesome to look at, to see this giant blood moon. Hopefully it won't be cloudy like it's been, and we'll be able to see it tomorrow night. I'm not sure. There's supposed to be snow tomorrow. But you'll probably be able to see it on the NASA channel. They'll probably have some camera or satellite or something that takes a picture of it. Anyway, so a super blood red moon is when the moon is closest to the Earth and it appears larger. What is a blood moon anyway? A blood moon is a lunar eclipse. A lunar eclipse is when the Earth is perfectly in between the sun and the moon. When the Earth is blocking the sun and the moon. However, the sun's much bigger than the Earth, so the Earth can't completely block the sun. Okay? The Earth isn't big enough to block the sun from the moon. So what happens is that during a blood moon, light from the sun goes around the Earth and it hits particles. It's called refractory light. It goes around the Earth, it hits particles in the atmosphere, and it causes the moon to give it the appearance of a blood red, of a red color. Okay? That's what a blood moon is. It's a lunar eclipse. Lunar eclipses can last up to 6 hours. Usually the main portion, the best part, is about an hour when they start. The real best time to see them lasts for about an hour. But the actual eclipse, unlike a solar eclipse, which only lasts for just a few minutes, and it stops, just kind of the sun, you know, the solar eclipse happens very quickly. But a lunar eclipse lasts for a long time. Okay, so why is this important? Why is a super blood moon over Washington, D.C. Tomorrow night? Why is that important? We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the significance of blood moons. And first of all, I want to say our Lord said in Luke 21:25, there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among nations, and in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Yeshua, Jesus, said there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. You know, there have been more tsunamis. There was a big, huge one in Japan in 2011. There was one that wiped out Sri Lanka and what's that place people go to vacation in? Thailand, parts of Thailand. And Indonesia, Banda Aceh in Indonesia, it just wiped out villages and cities. 250,000 people perished in the tsunami of 2004. So many bodies, they were just bagging them up and putting them on the beach. I mean, I didn't know what to do with them. It was horrible. We've had tsunamis more recently. There have been recent tsunamis. Earthquakes underwater, natural disasters taking place, been just a regular thing. Hurricanes, I honestly believe that there's been so many hurricanes, and the hurricane that hit Houston a year ago, and the hurricane that hit Florida last year that caused everyone to evacuate, and Hurricane Sandy, which went all the way up the coast. These things cost billions of dollars. It's going to bankrupt the government. Not only this government, but wherever these storms are happening, eventually, at some point, it's going to bankrupt. FEMA promises to be there, and they just don't have the resources to fight God. They don't have the resources to fight God. You know, when God brings judgment, and I'm telling you, when a massive hurricane isn't a blessing. It may bring a blessing to you if you own a gas station, unless it tears the roof off your gas station and blows your pumps away. But if you can sell some gas, it may bring you a blessing. Amen? However, for the next month and a half, when you can't get more gas for your tanks, for your big, for, you know, to sell, you're out of luck. So, you know, for some people, a hurricane can be a blessing, or fires, wildfires. But most people, it's a curse. It's a judgment. Okay. The super blood moon is just one of many signs that have appeared since 2014, when a series of four blood moons began on the Jewish feast of Passover, the second one on Sukkot, then again on Passover 2015, and finally Sukkot 2015. I taught on those four blood red moons. I did a series at the Messiah Conference to 1,000 people. Spoke to 1,000 people and taught on the blood red moon at the Messiah Conference. I was there with Jonathan Kahn and Sid Roth, and these CDs sold second only to Jonathan Kahn that year in 2014. And 2015, second only to Jonathan Kahn and Sid Roth, second and third. People are really interested in this stuff. And so if you're interested in getting, I have a few of these sets. If you're interested in getting one, you can contact our ministry just contact in our ministry that you're interested in. We'll let you know. I think they go for like $15 for the set, so as a suggested donation. And we'll send it to you, okay? But anyway, I'm not here to sell you. I'm here to tell you. So this super blood moon is just one of many signs in the heavens. Now, we had the four blood moons back in 2014 and 15. Such a series of blood red moons, lunar eclipses spaced out precisely over a period of time, is called a tetrad. The tetrad of 2014 and 15 was only the fourth tetrad to occur in 500 years since 1492. The next tetrad will not occur until 2032 or 2033. The next tetrad will not occur until 2032 and 33. The super blood moon will not reappear until May 2021. The next super blood moon will not appear until May 2021. God said, "Let there be lights." Now, here again, what is this blood moon? What does it mean over Washington, D.C.? It's a sign. How do I know that? God said in Genesis 1:14, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light to the earth." And it was so. Genesis 1:14 and 15. So the super blood moon on January 20th, 2019 is a sign. But a sign of what? A sign of what? Okay. So, let's look at some scriptures. Let's turn to Isaiah 13. Now, I made the argument 4 years ago when I taught on the blood red moons that the blood red moons... Well, first of all, we'll go to Isaiah 13. But I just want to read Matthew 24, verse 29. That's the classic verse that everybody looks at. And even though it doesn't talk about a blood moon, it really is talking about a blood moon. It says, "But immediately after the tribulation of those days," Matthew 24:29, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heavens will be shaken after the tribulation of those days. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Hallelujah. Now, if you read on to chapter 25, we come to the judgment. To the judgment of the nations. So So that's a pattern we're going to see. So I'm going to tell you here. First, I'm going to tell you what the meaning of the blood red moon is, and then I'm going to prove it to you. Okay? First, I'm going to tell you what the meaning is, then I'm going to prove it to you in the scripture. Okay? The blood red moon precedes the return of the Lord. A. B. The blood red moon is indicative of judgment of the nations. The blood red moon is indicative and precursor of judgment of the nations. C. The blood red moon is a precursor of Aliyah. It precedes Aliyah, the return of the Jewish people from the nations back to Israel. The blood red moon is a sign of that. D. The blood red moon is a sign of the restoration of Israel, both the land and the people. So God's blessing on Israel, His favor on Israel, but His judgment upon the nations. God's wrath and His judgment upon the nations, but His blessing and His restoration and His favor upon Israel. I'm going to show you this in the scripture. Okay. It also is a precursor. The blood red moon is a precursor of the return of Elijah, because it says the moon will be turned to blood before Elijah will come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Well, Elijah hasn't come yet, so we assume that the blood red moon is an indicator that Elijah's coming to warn us of tell us that the great and the dreadful day of the Lord is coming. Elijah comes to prepare us and to warn us and to prophesy to us. Amen? Malachi 4:5. And finally, the last thing that the blood red moon is a sign of, it's a sign of the day of the Lord. It's a sign of the day of the Lord. Okay, let's go on. Now let's go back to Isaiah 13. Now I'm going to prove to you all the things I just said. Amen? We're going to read some word today. We're going to read some scriptures, okay? You ready? Isaiah 13, verse 10. Okay. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Now, let me just say this for a second. When the real blood red moon comes, everybody say the real blood red moon. When the real thing happens and the sun is darkened, that's what it says in Joel. It says the sun will be darkened and the moon will be turned to blood. How, if it's the light of the sun going around the earth that causes the moon to turn blood red and the sun is darkened, how does the moon become blood? What brings the light? The glory of the Lord. The coming of the Lord around on the backside of the earth coming, and the light going around the earth will turn the moon blood red. The light of the Lord's glory going around the earth is going to cause such a blood red moon. That'll be a super blood red moon, let me tell you. Now, the fact that we've had so many blood red moons in 5 years, to me, as a Jew, so the Bible says Jews seek signs. Well, Joseph said the repetition of Pharaoh's dreams was an indicator that it was coming quickly. So what I'm going to say is the repetition of all these blood moons, not only that, so many in such a short time, 5 years, but on Jewish holidays, including tomorrow is a Jewish holiday. It's not a major one, but it's still a Jewish holiday. Tu B'Shvat. It's coming quickly. It's coming soon. The Lord is coming back soon. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord is coming back. He's getting ready to return. And we should be rejoicing. Okay. So verse 10 of Isaiah 13, for the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises on that day. The moon will not shed its light. Thus I will punish the world for its evil, and judgment of the world, and the wicked for their iniquity. He's talking about the blood red moon right there, and the very first thing he says, I will punish the world for its iniquity. If that's not clear, I'm going to give you five other scriptures that prove it, but That says it right there. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. I will make mortal man scarcer than pure gold, and mankind than the gold of Ophir. Therefore I will make the heavens tremble. The earth will be shaken from its place, and the fury of the Lord of hosts in the day of his burning anger. And it will be that like a hunted gazelle, or like sheep with none to gather them. They will each turn to his own people, and each one will flee to his own land. Anyone who is found will be thrust through, and anyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their little ones will also be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. Babylon will fall to the Medes. Behold, I'm going to stir up the Medes against them, the Iranians, against the Iraqis, who will not value silver or take pleasure in gold, and their bows will mow down the young men. They will not even have compassion on the fruit of the womb. They'll kill babies. Nor will the eye pity children. In Babylon, the beauty of kingdoms, the glory of the Chaldeans, pride will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, folks, this has not happened yet. Babylon, it says in verse 20, it will never be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation, nor will the Arab pitch his tent there, nor will shepherds make their flocks lie down there. This is prophecy of the day of the Lord and the blood red moon, when the moon is, when everything's darkened and the glory of the Lord comes and the anger of God and the judgment of the nations, and God's saying in that time, at that time, and the scripture isn't like a A B C D E F G H I J K L M N O P, you know, in that day, everybody say in that day. I mean, it can be months apart. It can be a year apart. These events can take place, but they're all coming in that day. And that day is now. We're living in that day. Everybody say, we're in that day. We're in that day. That can be 5 years. It can be 3 years, 7 years, 10 years. You know what I'm saying? I'm not telling you the day of the Lord's return. No man knows the hour. No man knows the day. But Yeshua said, as the fig tree blossoms in summer, so we are to know the seasons. We can know the seasons. We are not in the dark as to these things. Amen? All right. So I'm not predicting the day of his return. I am saying, though, that the blood red moon is indicative of his judgment of the nations. And Babylon will be so destroyed that no one will ever inhabit it. Verse 21, except for desert creatures will lie down there, and their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches will live there. So in case you're hungry for an ostrich, you can go to Babylon, Wendell, and hunt for some. No? They're ugly as all get out, and they're a little dangerous. I had some come to me in Africa in a jeep, and they came up to my window. I closed the window because they can bite your nose off. They're dangerous. But anyway, ostriches also live there, and shaggy goats will frolic there. Hyenas will howl in their fortified towers and jackals in their luxurious palaces. Her fateful time also will soon come, and her days will not be prolonged. Okay, so we're starting to see that's judgment of the nations, and he starts with Babylon. He goes on through the next five chapters. I'm not going to read them all, but I am going to read the next chapter for a little bit, just chapter 14. When the Lord will have compassion on Jacob, and again choose Israel, and settle them in their own land, then strangers will join them. That's you guys. That's the Messianic Gentiles. When the Lord will have compassion on Jacob, the Jewish people, and again choose Israel, choose the Jewish people. And that's when the time of the Gentiles ends. Luke 21 says, Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Well, I have always said and maintained that the times of the Gentiles were fulfilled in 1967. Now, we say, Rabbi Joe, how can the times of the Gentiles have been fulfilled in 1967? It's now 2019. How can we, you know, how could the times of the Gentiles have been fulfilled back all the way, 51 years ago? you know, and that doesn't make sense. Okay, well, let me go back to the times of the Jews. Before there was the times of the Gentiles, it was the times of the Jews. And many people, theologians, pastors, preachers, teachers, say that Pentecost, let's say, whether it's true or not, it's a good day. Let's say that Pentecost was the day that the church was born. Let's say that the times of the Gentiles began at Pentecost, okay? Let's say that that's when the times of the Gentiles began, and that's when all of Peter and Paul started going to the Gentiles. Peter went to the Roman centurion soon after Pentecost. Paul went out to the nations. Amen? Okay? So let's say that the church claims that Pentecost was the birth of the church, the birth of the times of the Gentiles. Okay, I'll agree with that. So Temple Judaism, Pharisaic and Sadducee Judaism continued for 37 years. If Christ died in 33 AD, if the Messiah died in around 33, and the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, that's how many years? 37 years? So Temple Judaism, if the times of the Gentiles began in Pentecost, in that year that the Lord was crucified, in around 33 AD, give or take, then Temple Judaism with a priesthood and a sacrifice continued for 37 years until the temple was destroyed. It didn't all happen in an instant. You have to understand that. To God, a day to God is as a thousand years to a man. An hour to God is like 6 months to a man. I don't know. A year. An hour, you know, God's time is not our time. Amen? Okay, but what it is saying here is that Israel will be restored. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Okay, and God heal you. When the Lord will have compassion, chapter 14. So after we see this fire, blood moon, the darkness, the sun turned to dark, just like Matthew said in Matthew 24, right? We saw it there starting in Isaiah 13:10, and that's when the blood red moon comes. And then we see judgment of the nations. Amen? And what do we see following that? Israel's restored, and it says, and strangers, Gentiles, will join with us, with the Jews, and attach themselves to the house of Jacob. Praise God. How awesome is that? Pat yourself on the back because you're sitting here. Pat yourself on the back and say, thank you, God, that I'm joined to the Jews. I'm joined to the Jews. And you know what? You could be joined to the Jews too. All you got to do is come down to the real Messianic synagogue. This is the only one in 120 miles. God sent me here. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm the only one in town that's really Jewish and believes in Jesus. And for 100 between here and Asheville, between here and Roanoke and here in Knoxville, if you want to join with the Jews, like Isaiah 14 says, when the Lord will again have compassion on Jacob, if you're wondering why the churches are not seeing sinners, they're seeing church hoppers instead of sinners walking through the doors, mostly. If you're wondering why I went to some missions conferences in a certain denomination, I won't mention, and they said that the growth was flatlining. Certain denominations, major denominations, are declining. Other denominations are going rogue, going apostate. They're bringing Sodomites and Gomorrans into the pulpit. And the people are not leaving those churches. The people are staying in them for the most part when they should be running. If you have Sodomites and Gomorrans or your church is turned against Israel, that's a sign you should leave your church. You should get out of your church. If your church is in cahoots with Sodomite and Gomorran pastors and bishops, and your church is standing for BDS, boycott, divest, and sanction Israel, you're on the wrong side of history, pal. You ought to be going to a Messianic synagogue. So I just told you two things that I said at the beginning. I said the blood red moon is predictive of the return of the Lord, the judgment of the nations, which we just saw, and the restoration of Israel, which we just saw. We saw two parts of it right here. We saw the beginning of the judgment of the nations following the blood red moon, and we saw in that time, in that day, we say in that day, we saw the beginning of the restoration of Israel, Isaiah 14, and we saw the judgment of the nations. Okay, let's look for more. Let's go on. Okay. Now, a lot of people say the Jews already returned to Israel. We've been going back to Israel since Theodore Herzl 120 years ago, and in 1898, 121 years ago. Jews have been returning to Israel. Theodore Herzl predicted on, I think it was May 14th or 15th, at the Council of Basel in Switzerland, he predicted that in 50 years, and this is in 1898, there would be a state of Israel. He was, to the day, from his prophetic tongue, Israel became a state. Was it the 14th or 15th? I can't remember. I always get the two confused. 14th, it was the 14th. Thank you. Thank you, Sharon. So on the 14th of May, 1948, Israel became a state. 50 years to the day that Theodore Herzl predicted at the Council of Basel in Switzerland. Jews have been returning ever since. And a lot of people say the Jews have returned. Israel's a state. The Jews are there. Jews are back in the land. I hear teachers teaching it all over the place. As I was speaking to 1,000 Jews on this very subject it'll be 5 years next summer. When I was speaking on this subject, I asked the maybe 600 Jews in the room, I said, if the Jews have all returned to Israel, what are you doing here? If the Jews have all returned to Israel, why are there 6.7 million Jews, give or take, still in the United States of America? Not to mention the ones in South America and Canada. If the Jews have all returned, I argue we haven't, that God isn't finished taking us back, and I'll get to that. Okay, so praise the Lord. So let's review Isaiah 13 and 14. Okay, does this pattern repeat that we just saw? Let's look at Joel 2 and 3. Turn to Joel. People call me Joel sometimes. I say I haven't earned my L yet. You have to earn your L. Joel 2. Glory to God. Okay. Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. As the dawn is spread over the mountains, so there is a great and mighty people. He goes on to talk about it. And then about this judgment of the earth, about the day of the Lord. It's a horrible day. You can read it on your own, Joel 2. But he talks about repentance. He says, yet even now, verse 12, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. That was Jonathan Kahn's message. Jonathan Kahn came to America with a prophetic message to America. Repent. He explained the birth of the nation. He explained how New York was the original capital of the United States. He explained the Buttonwood Agreement that created Wall Street. He explained the foundations of this country and why that church at Ground Zero didn't collapse when the World Trade Center right across the street collapsed right there, how that church, only the foundation cracked. That's where George Washington was sworn in as the first president of the United States. And he explained all these really cool things. And he mysteries and the cornerstone, that up there they quarried it out in upstate New York. What was that cornerstone for? Who remembers? And he talked about the Shemitah. But basically his message, although it was very cool and really, really neat and well studied, his message was repent. That America God is calling America, based on Isaiah 9, to repent. And you know what America did? They read his books, they bought his books, they watched him on TV, but we didn't repent. America didn't repent as a nation. So I'm here to tell you, God's got other plans for America. Now, Donald Trump is, God's giving us 8 years of grace, okay? I believe and I have preached that he's giving us 8 years of grace to get our act together before this country, before the cow patties hit the fan in this country, okay? And if you can't see that the handwriting is on the wall for this country with no borders, with no border fences and the ICE princess over there in Congress fighting the president. And I don't care what you think about my politics. we need borders. Why does she have a fence? You know, it's interesting. Nancy Pelosi has a big fat old fence around her house. And you know what they did? They had some illegal immigrants jump the fence and camp out in her yard. It's in the papers right this week. It's in the news. You can look it up. And some people jumped the fence. They had some Mexicans and illegals. They have them jump the fence and camp out because they want to see how she likes it. How would she like them in her own house? I don't know. I haven't read the full article, but I saw it. I saw the article. I didn't read the whole thing. But you can look it up. But I'm sure she's thrilled to have them camping out in tents in her yard. Okay? She's worth $190 million, by the way. She thinks she's the president of the United States. She may have been voted in by 150,000 people. A president of the United States was voted in by 50 million people. Okay? Yet she's telling the president of the United States, and this ticks me off, you know? People, she's telling the president of the United States, you can't hold the State of the Union address in the Congress. Who is she to tell the president of the United States? I don't care if you like the man Donald Trump. I don't care if you hate the man Donald Trump. You don't tell the president, if you don't respect the man, respect the office of the president. Amen. Who are you to tell the president of the United States, whatever party, whether it's Barack Obama or Donald Trump, that he can't hold the State of the Union address in the Congress? So you know what he did in response? She was supposed to take, you know, instead of sticking around and negotiating a border treaty, instead of sticking around and negotiating a budget so that they could pay the government workers who are on furlough and work with the Republicans, she wanted to take a bunch of Congress people and go over to Afghanistan after she went to Hawaii and then Puerto Rico. They went down to Puerto Rico to party. Then now they're going to take another trip down to Afghanistan and Belgium and maybe some other country. And so you know what the president did? He pulled the plug on the military plane that was going to take them and said, sorry, your plane's been canceled. Madam Speaker, your flight's been canceled. But you can go coach. You can fly domestic if you know. You can fly an airline if you want. But you're not getting a military plane. Good for him. God bless President Trump for spanking her because she deserves the biggest spanking for the disrespect she shows the leader of the free world. And I don't care. If you don't like it, you can change the channel. That's your choice. But Donald Trump is God's man. He was chosen by God. He is God's anointed. He is all authority. Romans 13 was given by God, and we are to obey the governing authorities. Romans 13, 1, 1 Peter 2, we are to obey the governing authorities and submit to them. And if we don't submit to them, it says they are ministers of the sword to bring wrath upon us if we rebel against the governing authorities. And Donald Trump was chosen by God. The Bible says that God raises up kings and he brings them down. He raises up governors and he brings them down. And he raised up Donald Trump. And you know what? He didn't raise Donald Trump up to lower your taxes. God didn't raise up Donald Trump to change your medical insurance plan. God didn't raise Donald Trump up even to build a fence. I'm not even sure that fence or wall is going to be built, because God's bringing judgment on this country after Donald Trump's gone. Judgment is coming to America. But I'm going to tell you what God did bring Donald Trump to do. God brought Donald Trump to destroy ISIS. God brought Donald Trump to destroy radical Islamic jihadism. And God brought Donald Trump to stand with Israel and to put the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, which is prophetic, acknowledging that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the Jewish people forever. And God brought Donald Trump to help bring the Jews home, because it's time for the Jews to return to Israel. I said before, people teach that Israel is restored and the Jews are there. And as a Jew, I say, and knowing other thousands of other Jews, and knowing that there's some 7 million Jews in America, if that was true, what are we doing here? We haven't gone yet. Hosea 11:10 says that he will turn our hearts to him again, back to the Lord, and then he will roar for us like a lion, and the Jewish people, we will come trembling to the Lord, back to Israel like doves. Hallelujah. And there are several other verses, Isaiah 43, which talks about us coming back from the west. From the west, Isaiah 43:5. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go on. Let's look at Joel. So we're here in Joel 2 and 3. So it's judgment. But God, in the midst of judgment, God says, return to me, verse 12. Yet even now, in spite of all this judgment, yet even now, the Lord says, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, even a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow a trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders. He says, gather the children and the nursing infants. Let the bridegroom come out of his room. This is so important. He says, let the bridegroom come out of his bridal chamber and the bride out of her bridal chamber. Let the priests of the Lord's ministers weep between the porch and the altar. That's how serious God is. So God is very serious. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and will have pity on his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I'm going to send you grain. So when there's famine, God says, I'm going to send you grain and new wine and oil. He's going to send us grain and new wine and oil. And you will be satisfied and full, verse 19, with them. And I will never make you again a reproach, the Jewish people among the nations, but I will remove the northern army far from you. He's telling Israel, he's really speaking to Israel here, to repent and turn back to God. And unfortunately, it's going to take a lot more to bring Israel to repentance. And then he says in verse 30, I will display wonders. Verse 28 is good too. It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will display wonders in the skies and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Okay, so there's three things I've just proven. I said the judgment of the nations was the first one. The restoration of Israel was the second one. And we're going to prove that again here in a minute. And the third thing was the day of the Lord. And it says here, I'll turn the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be those who escape, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Now here's the judgment of the nations and the restoration of Israel. Listen closely here. Chapter 3. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem. Say, everybody say, in that day. In that day. When I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem. This is after the blood red moon. I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Then I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my inheritance Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have divided up my land. God isn't interested in a two-state solution. He's interested in a one-state solution. It's called Israel, and Jerusalem will forever be a city, the city of God. Jerusalem, God, Zechariah 8 says, the Lord will dwell in Zion. He is zealous for Jerusalem. He's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives. He's going to live in Jerusalem. Jerusalem will never cease to exist. It will never be a two-state. There will never be a two-state solution. Now, I don't care what president, I don't care what government, I don't care about the United Nations or the Lord laughs at the nations. He sits enthroned and he laughs at their foolish plans. Praise God. But in chapter 3, for behold, in those days and at that time when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Then I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my inheritance Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land. They have also cast lots for my people, traded a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. Whew. But then he goes on, he talks about the restoration. Verse 18, he says, in that day the mountains will drip with sweet wine of Israel, and the hills will flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah will flow with water, and a spring will go out from the house of the Lord. Praise God. To water the valley of Shittim. Egypt will become a waste, and Edom will become a desolate. Edom, Saudi Arabia, Egypt will become a waste, and Edom, which is Saudi Arabia and southern Jordan, will become a desolate wilderness because of the violence done to the sons of Judah, in whose land they have shed innocent blood. But Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem for all generations. Verse 20. But Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem for all generations. How many generations? And I will avenge their blood, which I have not avenged, for the Lord dwells in Zion. Hallelujah. Praise God. The blood red moon is indicative of the restoration of Israel, of the judgment of the nations. Now, here, why is this important? Because Christian teaching on this subject says it's judgment of Israel. Mark Biltz teaches that this is about the judgment of Israel. John Hagee teaches that this is about the judgment of Israel. No! The blood red moon is a sign of the judgment of the nations and the restoration of Israel. We're not living in the time of the Jews are not going to be in a tribulation for 7 years. The church is. You're going to be here for 7 years, and the Jews are going to be sealed. 144,000 of us will be protected, and those who join with us will be protected with seals from the judgments that are coming upon the earth. But you who think you're going to be taken out of here on a rocket ship, you've been fooled. You've been taught a lie. And you're waiting for, God sent Jews to share the gospel with you. He sent Jews to share the gospel with your ancestors, and you're saved today because Jewish people gave their lives and were crucified upside down, some of them, and killed in horrendous ways, bringing the gospel to the nations. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Thomas, and many others, who took the gospel to the nations. And the church teaches that the blessings, the church has been teaching for decades, that whatever blessings are in the Bible apply to the church, but Israel's been forgotten. That's replacement theology. All the good things are appropriated to the church, but anything bad is appropriated to the Jews. Well, I got news for you. That's not true. And the truth is salvation is of the Jews. And the truth is, if God didn't have a plan for the Jews, why are they still persecuting us? If God didn't have a plan for the Jewish nation, why are the Jews still the most persecuted people on the planet? Why has the United Nations put a Palestinian in charge of the G77, the global 77 nations? He's not even a state. Mahmoud Abbas has been put in charge of the global 77. They've since censured Israel some 70 times in the last 7 or 8 years, 10 years, whatever. They've censured Israel when they've only censured punished, you know, Syria once or twice, but they've punished Israel some close to 70 times. What was that, her name? The Secretary of the United Nations, the U.S. Secretary General, Ambassador Nikki Haley. I love that Nikki Haley. I'll tell you, I don't know what she's going to do, but she was one great ambassador to the United Nations. Isaiah 34 and 35, please. Are you starting to see the picture? Isaiah 34 and 35. Draw near, O nations, to hear. Listen, O peoples. Let the earth and all it contains hear, and the world and all that springs from it. For the Lord's indignation is against all the nations, and his wrath against all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has given them over to slaughter. So their slain will be thrown out, and their corpses will give off stench, and the mountains will be drenched with their blood, and all the host of heaven will wear away. What's he talking about? The mountains will be stenched with their blood when they invaded God, the battle of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38 and 39. He's saying the nations are going to be, their blood, the stench, there's going to be, God's going to destroy them. Ezekiel 38 and 39. All the nations who attack Israel. Zechariah 12 and 14 through 14. Their slain will be thrown out. He's given them over to slaughter. Verse 3. And their corpses will give off their stench, and the mountains will be drenched with their blood, and all the hosts of heaven will wear away, and the sky will be rolled up like a scroll, and all their hosts will also wither away. A leaf withers from the vine as one withers from the fig tree. For my sword is satiated in heaven. Behold, it shall descend for judgment upon Edom. There we go, Saudi Arabia. Upon the people whom I have devoted to destruction. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is sated with fat, the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat and the kidneys of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Edom. Wild oxen, these are nations, will also fall with them, and young bulls with strong ones. Their land will be soaked with blood, and their dust become greasy with fat. For the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. The Lord has a day of vengeance and a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. Its streams will be turned into pitch. The Arabia, not just Saudi Arabia, but Arabia, that whole area, their streams will be turned into pitch. Pitch is oil. Pitch is tar. Okay? Pitch is tar, petroleum, it's oil. It's like that stuff you put to waterproof outside. It's sticky. It's you can't get it off you, and it's nasty. But it's good for waterproofing. Hallelujah. It will not be quenched day or night. Its smoke will go up forever from generation to generation. None will pass through Arabia, Edom, forever and ever. But pelican and hedgehog. God has a word for the Arab countries. Destruction. Pelican and hedgehog will possess it. Owl and raven will dwell in it. And he will stretch over the line of desolation, the plumb line of emptiness. Its nobles, there is no one there. whom they proclaim king. All its princes will be nothing. Thorns will come up in its fortified towers, nettles and thistles in its fortified cities. It will also be a haunt of jackals and an abode of ostriches, Wendell. The desert creatures will meet with the wolves. That's God's plan for the Arab nations who have made Israel's life a living hell for the last 70 years. That's God's plans for you, for your supporting terrorism, Saudi Arabia, for sending Iran and Iraq, for sending missiles, and Palestinians for shooting rockets, and Lebanese. Lebanon will be destroyed and never inhabited again. Damascus will be, the Bible says it. You can look it up. Every one of these countries, Damascus will be destroyed. It will be uninhabitable, it says. Uninhabited, except by these ostriches and jackals and hyenas. Before God is done. Judgment is coming upon the nations, not upon Israel. How do I know? Look at chapter 35. The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Arava, that's the desert of Israel, will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and the shout of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come. He will save you. That's you and me. That's the messianic, that's the Christians who love Israel and the Jewish people, and that's the messianic Jews. That's who he's talking about. Amen? Praise God. He's coming to recompense us, to fight for us. He will save us. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arava. The scorched will become a pool, and the thirsty ground of Israel, springs of water, in the haunt of jackals, its resting place, grass becomes reeds and rushes. A highway will be there, a roadway. It will be called a highway of holiness. No, the unclean will not travel on it. It will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast. Folks, God is promising restoration to Israel. Okay, so let's go back and review again. What have I said so far? The blood red moon is indicative and predicative. It's predicative and indicative of the coming of judgment upon the nations. It's predicative and indicative of the return of the Jewish people to Israel. It's predicative and indicative of the restoration of Israel and God's choosing Israel once again and the end of the times of the Gentiles. The church age is coming to an end. And does that mean God doesn't love Christians? No. God loves Christians. Does that mean God doesn't love the church? No. God loves the church, the people, the believers. But the apostate, the false church, is rising. Somebody ought to write a book, False Church Rising. It's rising out there. And am I right? Can I get an amen? Amen. The false church is rising. And somebody needs to write a book on that. I'll tell you. And Lord have mercy. But God loves the true church, the true believers. God loves Christians, and God's not going to destroy you. Don't be found on the wrong side of Israel, of history. Stand with Israel. Stand with the Jewish people, even if it means your life. In Zechariah 8:23 says, 10 men from every nation will take hold of the fringe of a Jew and say, take us with you, for we've heard God is with you. I'm not just telling you this because I'm a Jew. I'm telling you this because I get it. If I was Chinese, I would tell you the same thing. If I was Honduran, I'd tell you the same thing. Guarda los judeos. Guard the Jews. Protect the Jews. Help the Jews. Hallelujah. Let's look at Revelation 6:12, and then I'll start to bring it home. Okay? There's more scriptures that I could do, but Revelation 6:12. This is amazing. I looked, then he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll. We just read that in Isaiah 34. When it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountain. The rich became like the poor and the poor became like the rich. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? The blood-red moon is predicative of the judgment of the nations. And the rich, both rich and poor, will run into the caves and the clefts of the rock to hide. Those who don't get it, those who aren't sitting in these seats today, those who are out there shopping, having a good old time, eating out, mowing their lawns, watching TV, when they see us sitting here, they know we're in here. They know we're here. And they just shun us, and they just say, I'm not going there. I'll never go there. I'll never be part of that. And you know what they're doing? They're just, you know, Jews, God sends a Jew to a place, a city. He sent Jews to Europe. And you know what Europe did? They kicked the Jews out. And what did God do to Europe? He destroyed it more than once. The bubonic plague, he destroyed Europe. Europe kicked the Jews out of every country, out of Italy, Spain, France, Portugal, Germany, Austria. They kicked the Jews out, England, and they got the bubonic plague. Then in the Holocaust, they kicked the Jews out again. And what happened? Eisenhower made a deal at the end of the war that the Russians could come in and take Berlin. Oh, those lovely Russians. They're so sweet. They came in and blew Berlin to kingdom come, raped the women, killed the men. They killed, do you know how many Germans starved their houses or died, were shot in the middle of crossfire, or their houses were bombed as the Allies were moving in towards Berlin? Do you know how many as they were surrounded and the Allies were moving in and blowing up villages? How many people died? Millions of Germans died, but you don't hear about it. They paid a price, all right. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer made a comment I'm not quoting him exactly, but he made a comment about silence is complicity. To be silent is to be complicit. If you sit and you watch people persecute the Jews, he was talking about, if you watch a crime, it's the same thing in the law. If you drive a bank robber to a bank and he goes in and kills somebody, kills a teller and takes $50,000 in a bag, gets in the car and you drive him away, you're as guilty as he is. Even though you didn't say anything or do anything, you just drove the car. Standing by silent while horrible crimes take place is complicity. And I'll tell you something, those of you who say you love the Jews and you don't support Jewish ministry, tell me how you love the Jews. You say you love the Jews, but you don't support Jewish ministry. You think we're going to be here forever? I'll tell you, if this city, God said to Chorazin and Bethsaida, he says, woe unto you, Chorazin and Bethsaida, And what other town was it? Capernaum. He said, if the miracles that had been done in you were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. Woe to you, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. If the miracles that have been done in you were performed in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. And people say, oh, Joe Bell, oh, Rabbi Joe, I love you. Rabbi Joe, I love you. I love you, Rabbi Joe. You want to love me? You can support your local Messianic synagogue. Come. Be a part. Join with us. I'm not telling you to leave your church. Come and support. Come and be a part of this community. God sent us to you to teach you these things for a reason. He sent us for a reason. And there's not one person in this room whose life hasn't been changed and your thought process. You may not like me. You may not like what I've said. But there's no person in this room who can stand up and say, I've learned something from Rabbi Joe that I didn't know 20 years ago. Hallelujah. Amen? Good preaching, Rabbi. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I've come here and taught things that nobody's ever spoken. I've taught things. You've seen things at the Passover. You've seen things in sermons. You've heard words that you'll never hear in a church. Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. But God bless you who stand with us. God bless you who support this ministry. In prayer, those of you who come and those of you who support it financially, God bless you for all the things. Who volunteer, who put our newsletter together, who help us with these things. Who come in, like the pastor who came and rebuilt our wall because our fellowship hall was flooded. And the pastor and his father, I won't name him on publicly, but he came with and he rebuilt the wall at our fellowship hall. Because we said we had a need. And he came. He heard the need. He said, I'm going to come and put action. I love the Jews. I'm going to come and help the Jews. I'm going to do something. So he did. Amen? He helped us. He put traction to his act, to his words. Hallelujah. This isn't for me. I'm saying this. I'm saying this for your benefit. You have an opportunity, like the Roman centurion, to bless the Jewish people. You have an opportunity to join with the Jewish people. Not the fake Jews. Not the people who teach Hebraic stuff. Not the phony balonies. If you go to one of those places, you need to ask your leader, are you Jewish? How are you Jewish? Were you raised Jewish? Were you raised in a Jewish family? Are you a blood Jew? Did God send you here? How do you know God sent you here? Were you ordained? Were you sent out with the laying of hands and prayer? How do you know you were called here? Because there's people out there, they're causing Jews to stumble who should be here, but they're out there teaching Jewish stuff, causing real Jews to stumble when they should really be in a house of the Jews. I didn't come here to start churches that do Jewish stuff. I didn't come here to create fake churches playing Jewish. I don't play Methodist. I don't play Baptist. I don't play Catholic. I don't have a Lutheran service on Sunday morning. I could. I could put on the robes and the vestments and get the wooden cross, you know, and put the candlesticks on the table and get a cross behind me, and I could be Father Joe or Reverend Joe, you know, and I could start New Hampshire Avenue Methodist Church or New Hampshire Avenue Lutheran Church. I'd be a faker, because I'm not a Lutheran. I'm not a Methodist, and I'm not a Baptist. So why are Christians out there playing Jew? What's that? Scripture says, beware of the synagogue of Satan, those who say they are Jews but are not. They will come and they will bow at your feet. That's what it says. Revelation 3 and Revelation 2. Okay, so Aliyah, that's the only thing I haven't proven to you, but it has to happen. Aliyah has to happen. I've said at the very beginning of this message that the blood red moon precedes the return of the Lord, yes. Judgment of the nations, I've shown you that. restoration of Israel, I've shown you that, and the people return of Elijah, Malachi 4:5, before the great coming of the day of the Lord, and the day of the Lord, I've shown you that. The return of the Jews. Let's look at Ezekiel 39. This is in the middle of the battle of Gog and Magog. This is amazing. This is in the middle of the battle of Gog and Magog. And then God says, verse 25, therefore thus says the Lord God, now I will restore the fortunes of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel. I will be jealous for my holy name. They will forget their disgrace and all their treachery which they perpetrated against me when they lived securely on their own land with no one to make them afraid. When I bring them back from the peoples and gather them from the lands of their enemies, then I shall be sanctified through them in the sight of many nations. They will know that I am the Lord, their God, because I made them go into exile, Jews, among the nations, and then gathered them again to their own land. I will leave none of them there any longer, he says. God is going to bring the Jews back before the millennial reign, before the return of the Lord, before the second coming. God is going to bring the Jewish people back to the land of Israel. He says right here in verse 28 of Ezekiel 39, they will know that I am the Lord their God because I made them go into exile. That's me. I'm in exile among the nations and then gathered them again to their own land, and I will leave none of them there any longer. I will not hide my face from them any longer, for I will have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 16:14. Says, behold, days are coming, saith the Lord, when no more will they say, the Lord lives, who brought the children of Israel up from the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives, who brought the children of Israel up from the land of the north and from all the countries where he scattered them. Hallelujah. And Isaiah 43, one, and then I'm going to bring my conclusion. Isaiah 43. The return of the Jews back to Israel, and many Christians will come with us. Just like Anthony talked about the multitude of Gentiles today. Did you hear him? Did you hear Anthony talking about the multitude of Gentiles that came out of Egypt with the Jews? Didn't you mention that today? You don't remember? Does anybody else remember? Amen? That's what God's saying. It's not just Jews going to go to Israel. It's people who love the Jews. It's people who love Israel. You can be on that boat. You can be on that plane. I've been saying Miss Dawn's going to fly Jews back to Israel for 20 years. She's finally flying jets again. Praise God. Look, it's a sign. Do not fear, verse 5, Isaiah 43. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. That's us. We live in the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. I'm telling you that President Trump is going to help the Jewish people go home before he leaves office. Do you think for one second that any other leader of the United States who've made promises to Israel and the Jews. They promised, George Bush promised to put the embassy in Jerusalem. He didn't keep his promise. Bill Clinton promised to put the American embassy in Jerusalem. He didn't keep his promise. Barack Obama promised to put the American embassy in Jerusalem. He didn't keep his promise. Donald Trump kept his promise. He's the most pro-Israel president. And you know what? Israel loves him. Let me conclude. So we see a pattern here that is constant throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's consistent. It's a consistent pattern. From 5 years ago when I started preaching it, I preached it to 1,000 people, that the blood moon is a precursor to Aliyah, the return of the Jews. By the way, it's interesting, you may not know this about Passover, but where did Jesus hold his Passover? The Last Supper. And it was in a upper room. What's the word for the return of the Jews to Israel? Who knows the word in Hebrew? Aliyah. Aliyah. You know what the word for our upper room is? Aliyah. Jesus was talking about Aliyah on the night of his crucifixion. He was talking about the Jews coming back. He was prophesying by eating in an Aliyah in an upper room. He was saying to the Jewish people, Passover, Egypt, I'm going to take you out and I'm going to take you home. Conclusion. God gave us the sun and the moon and the stars for signs in the heavens. Genesis 1:14, Luke 21. All those blood moons are a sign that the real one is coming soon. The blood moon over the White House on the exact halfway point of President Trump's term means judgment is coming to America. War, economic collapse, storms that will bankrupt the government, hurricanes, earthquakes, terrible storms that will bankrupt insurance companies, and FEMA will destroy their budget, all to cause the Jewish people to return home to Israel. It has to be made more uncomfortable to live in America and more desirable for Jews to go back to Israel than otherwise they'd rather stay here. Do you have Aliyah? Do you know that the Hebrew word for, as I said, for upper room is Aliyah? Jesus held Passover in an Aliyah because it also means the return of the Jews. The second Exodus is connected to Passover and the original Exodus. Some Exodus verses, which I already gave you, and there's many more, read Ezekiel 36 and 37 and 39, as I just said. Those are some great verses. Ezekiel 36 and 37, Jeremiah 16, 14. Get ready. Get your passport. What can you do? Get your passport. Number one, pray. Commit with other Aliyah people. Get together with other Aliyah people like us. Get connected. Connect, not commit. Connect with other Aliyah people. If you believe in what I'm saying, and you believe that the judgment of America is coming, and you want to go to Israel, you need to connect with people who believe in it. If you can't go it alone unless you're a multimillionaire like Jay Sekulow, you know, who's the president's lawyer and he's Israel's lawyer and he's got Aliyah, he's got citizenship in the land of Israel, you know. Unless you have that kind of favor, you better get with a crowd of people who can help you. I don't know how many of you can do it alone, but they say if you want to make a small fortune in Israel, you better bring a large one. Okay? Get ready. Get your passport. Connect with other Aliyah people like us. The Cyrus Foundation is another ministry that I'm on the board of that helps Jewish people go home. Not just Messianic Jews, any Jews. Be ready to go at a moment's notice. And I believe God's going to take non-Jews. I believe that God's going to open the door for Christians who love Israel to come back to go to Israel. I believe that. I believe that his citizenship is not too far for you or me. I'm not allowed to be a citizen as a Messianic Jew. And they've taken away my rights because I believe in Jesus. But I believe God's going to change that. Be ready to go at a moment's notice with your staves in hand, sandals on your feet, your loins girded. Should you divest of your dollars and stocks or real estate? I'm no financial expert, but I believe the Trump economy will thrive a while longer, but that there will be a downturn of the stock market before Trump's second term is over. There will be another. We just went through a recession. A steep correction, and now it's coming back up. Again, I'm not telling you what to do except pray. I'm not a financial expert. I'm not giving you advice. I'm just saying, think about divesting yourself. I did notice that as the stock market tanked recently, gold and silver began to go up. Well, people who bought gold and silver and sold it at a higher price could make a lot of money if they knew what to do. Now stock market is going up and gold and silver is stalling. Pray. Some are investing in Israel and getting out of the dollar. Pray. I believe the powers of hell are working overtime to bring President Trump down and prevent his reelection. But I preached 9 months before his election that he would help the Jewish people return to Israel and that he would destroy ISIS and Iran's nuclear capability before he leaves office. I don't know about a fence. I don't know about health care, but I stand by the words I said that he will destroy ISIS and Iran's nuclear capability, and he'll do a job on radical Islam. Not Islam, but radical Islam. I stand by that word. No amount of fake news or opposition from Nancy Pelosi and the left, or talk of impeachment, will keep President Trump from fulfilling his God-given Cyrus Alexander the Great destiny to help the Jewish people and defeat Iran. And that is the word of the Lord for today. Please stand up. I want to bless you. The blood red moon, the super moon, is coming tomorrow night. Now listen, this could mean we're at the halfway point. I thought and have taught that he's going to have 8 years. God may be telling us it's 4 years, that we have 2 years left. God help us if we have 2 years left. Because I'm going to tell you this. If the other side gets power, you who read the Bible, they want to take away your Bibles. They want to take away your houses of worship. They want to take away your guns. They want to take your money. Ocasio-Cortez wants to tax you 70%, she says. They said they were only going to tax the rich in the last administration, but they taxed the middle class. Did they raise your taxes? They raised mine. They taxed the middle class. They want to tax everybody. I don't want to be here. I don't know about you. I don't want to be in that. I don't want to be around for that. The only thing stopping, protecting you is President Trump right now and the Holy Spirit. And pray for him. We need to pray for him. God bless our president. Your word says pray for our leaders. Bless him. Lift his arms. Give him strength. Lord, let him fulfill your tasks, your assignments. Let all no weapon formed against him shall prosper. This is the word of the Lord and the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your will be done, and that those who stand for the murder of babies and those who stand for the Sodomites and the Gomorrans, and who claim to be Christians, are phonies, and they will be brought down, and their lies will be exposed. And I pray that if you're a Christian and you stand with people who stand against God's word, you're deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. In the name of Yeshua, God, strengthen President Trump, bless his family, bless his children, bless his administration, bless his cabinet. Help them to accomplish the work that you've established for us, Lord. I don't see healing in this nation coming. I just see a few years of grace and to get ready for us to go home. You're calling us home, Lord. Help us to get there. In Yeshua's name. Amen. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panaveilecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panaveilecha Vayesem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. And God help us if all we have is 2 years to get out. But I said last week, I said, I've met with rich people. I've met with military people. I've met with politicians, and nobody seems to want to do anything. I've reached a point of discouragement where I feel like it's just us. We're on our own. That's the way I feel, that we're on our own, and we've got to figure out a plan for ourselves. God is with us. Amen. That was last week's message, yes. And we will get there. We will get there. And I could be totally wrong. God could bring a Moses, but I hope he does. Well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Anybody have a problem with the Passover at New Life Church? Raise your hand if you have another idea. I'm open to it. Any other thoughts? Okay. Shabbat Shalom.